Welcome to another episode of the Women on the Rise podcast, and I am recording from our studios in London, and I am joined by Sky Barber, who is one of our members in Female Fusion in the UK. And Sky is an expert when it comes to all things on helping female entrepreneurs get out of just doing everything in their business and working on their business. Sky, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to talk to you again.
Yeah, well, I love having our conversations because you are all about helping women stop being so busy doing everything, getting their time back and making more money.
Yeah. In the simplest terms, helping them create time by doing what they're brilliant at and putting the systems and support teams around them. Yeah.
But that sounds super impossible for so many business owners, right? Like it sounds like the dream, but it also sounds quite complicated. So before we go into that and talk about how people can do that, tell everybody a little bit about you and about your background.
Okay. It can have its challenges, but I know that firsthand. So I am born, bred in Oxfordshire, and I'm a farmer's wife, mommy to two small boys, Albie and Wilbur. I absolutely live and breathe business and working with family members my whole life. My background is retail, and actually my whole family has been retail and farming. I was headhunted from university into the John Lewis graduate scheme. I didn't realize how lucky I was at that point, going into the 2008 crash and getting one of the top spots on this graduate scheme. I was fast tracked through that and basically at 27 ended up running a £45 million unit with 250 members of staff and honestly not really having a clue what to do or how to lead. But I learned very quickly how to delegate effectively, put systems in place, and realize that these skills I had, small business owners didn't have. I was surrounded by small business owners who were maxed out, making themselves ill with overworking. And I could see how things could be done differently, but no one was really taught these things. Where in business, you just get thrown into the deep end and you learn as you go. So I saw an opportunity of how I could help, but it took me a while to take the leap from corporate life into my own business. I ended up starting a hospitality business, selling that in COVID for multi-millions, and then with an investor, and then deciding, right, now's the time to go into this teaching and coaching business that I really wanted to do, but had a bit of imposter syndrome, I suppose, for years that I wasn't able to do that first. So that's kind of a bit of background about me. I've lived and breathed business, and I just am so passionate about women being able to have the best of both worlds. How can you be a really present parent or caregiver to the people that you love and have financial independence and like make the most of your talents? How do you do that when we only have 24 hours a day?
Yeah.
And that's a challenge I personally have and one I want to solve for myself and for my clients.
So how do you do it? That is a $1 million question, because all business owners, and it's not just women, although the focus of our podcast is more women, that all business owners struggle with this. So how do you, like talking to somebody who's working crazy hours, how do you get them out of doing everything and focus on being more strategic?
Yeah. So I have this ability in my neurodiverse mind to sometimes make things over complex. At its simplest form, I believe, and I've seen evidence of teams I've worked with and also myself, and then beyond for the hundreds of business owners I've worked with, that when we do more of what we are brilliant at, that is where the profit is. That is where the pleasure is. And that's where we get our energy. So if you imagine your world, you're probably, and people listening to this podcast, perhaps thinking like, gosh, my life is so full. But I'd just like you to ask the question, how many of those things that are you currently doing really are your zone of genius? So things that you are absolutely adore or brilliant at. And how many of those things are you doing because perhaps you think you should, or you're the only one who can, or you're the one that thinks like this is a stepping stone, you need to do this. I challenge those rules and think, but why? Why do you need to do things like your laundry? Why do you need to do things like your administration? Why does that need to be you with that client? And I challenge that thinking to say, what can we do to create a system that then can be taught to other people so that you can build your business rather than just be stuck in a job? So what I love to do is focus on placing business owners and the people, the small teams around them, into their zone of genius and putting a system in place or the person in place to take the other load off that hopefully matches their zone of genius too.
Yeah. Because you want to, everybody wants to be doing things they like, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the realist in me says, we can't have that the whole time, obviously. Yeah. But if we can do that more, that is where you're going to absolutely leverage your skills and your business income.
But I see a number of small business mm-hmm. owners struggle with this for a few reasons. One thing that I see with business owners is they're worried about making enough money. Mm-hmm. Typical thing that I see. So worried about making enough money. So I'm going to do this, 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 and this. So they're like throwing spaghetti at the wall, mm-hmm. trying to do everything, trying to make the money. And so I see one bit is that they're trying to do everything. So they're the jack of all trades and the master yep. of none. And you would probably be just as profitable or more if you did one or two things.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm a Libra. I'm an options girl. I don't like deciding and niching yeah. and going small either. But I absolutely know the hardship when you're trying to do all things. I remember a previous mentor of mine used the analogy of just building one raft to cross the river at a time, one bridge to cross yeah. the river at a time.
You don't need 10.
You don't need 10. No, you don't. But my goodness, shiny object syndrome is a real thing, isn't yeah. it? And plus, we're creative. Part of the reason why we run these businesses is because we have ideas and it's because we see opportunity. And how do you know what is something to go for and what's not? So I would say to anyone in that place, like no one is perfect and that everyone has these kind of pulls to go and do more. But the people I work with who get traction and have exponential growth, like 10 timesing their revenue within 12 months, they're the people who focus. They're focused on who they're serving, how they're serving them, and they stick to it. And they look to ways to continually improve the way in which they're providing this service rather than adding layers to it. Now, I can also think of clients who are anomalies to that. But I do believe in traction because once you then work that out of, okay, well, this is how I'm going to generate growth. This is the program. This is the service I want to provide. You can then start creating a system around it, like documenting. And I don't just mean a process. I mean a whole operating machine around it. And you can start delegating to people and not constantly be making different decisions and changing your mind because that throws people.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about what that system looks okay. like, because people might be listening to this going, well, that sounds great, but what does that mean,
yeah.
Sky?
Yeah.
So what would like a whole operating machine look like?
So I'd ask the question, if you were to take 2 weeks off the business, out of the business, and weren't contactable, would the business continue to grow? Would your clients continue to be served? And would your team be okay? And is there a place in which you could check to see that everything is happening without you? Because entrepreneurs have a bit of control. So if the answer is yes, then great. You've got an operating system. If the answer is no, then there's room for improvement.
Okay, so we're going to go deeper
okay.
again yeah. because people are going, that's great, Sky, but what does that look like okay. if I want to do that? So we're looking at things like project management systems,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So that would be, for small businesses, it's things like Asana, Trello, Monday,
yeah.
any of those sorts yeah. of things.
Yeah.
So that is where tasks can be assigned
yes.
to anybody else, and mm-hmm. you're able to dip in and see,
yeah.
see where that is.
Yeah. Sorry.
So the project management system mm-hmm. is one piece, but mm-hmm. then the other bit is things like standard operating procedures mm-hmm. and templates that we use. Mm-hmm. So how would you suggest that companies would do things like that?
Okay. And here's where I do things a bit differently. So I'm in the business of helping people lead and delegate. I'm not in a business of tech. So it doesn't matter really what platform you use. It's the way in which you use it. People often talk about, well, if you've got your SOPs, because if you've got them, then your business can run. Well, I disagree with that because I have a lot of business owners who have their SOPs and they're in some kind of Bible that gets put on the shelf and gets dusty and isn't looked at. So in a really good operating system, you have got every task that creates a rhythm and routine in your business on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis into your project management tool. I use Asana, which I love, so that it is also linked to what needs to be done. So instead of it being like, these are the things that need to get done and my SOPs are somewhere else, everything is linked. And the way in which my team and I create, we call it operational brilliance, is that we bring project management, we link it to people's roles so that every day, instead of an inbox being your port of call, your WhatsApp being your port of call, your project management tool is the place you go to get direction, to get feedback on tasks, and to know what it is you need to complete in order to achieve the objectives. So it's a way of linking together what's someone's job role, how do I do a task, and how am I going to know it's done to a really good standard and get feedback? And as a business owner, it's your catch-all. You've got complete control, and you know exactly what's happening and to the standard it's being delivered.
Okay. Now, okay, I'm looking at that,
yeah.
Diving deeper again.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's say we have all of that.
Yes.
We're looking at operational brilliance.
Mm-hmm.
But as a business owner, how do you make sure that your team are going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
That is, I hear this complaint all the time from entrepreneurs that they're like, I have my SOPs, we have the project management system, nobody's doing it.
Okay. So I hear you. And you know what? I was one of those business owners. Like,
totally.
My team would ask me to do, like, be looking at the stuff we were putting in. And I was like, yeah, that's for you. That's not for me. And I wasn't bought into it to start with until I saw how it could change my life and theirs. So with anything, we're talking about cultural change here. And with cultural change, we need to have a sense of urgency. Like, what is the reason behind using it? And we have to create buy-in with our team as to why this is the thing. So I believe that as leaders, we do need to lead from the top and we need to be active in anything we want our team to do. But we also need to share with them the reason why and create win hearts and minds in this. Do you know what? Leading a team isn't just a practical thing. We can have SOPs, project management.
Yeah.
We can have job descriptions, all of this stuff. Tick, tick, tick. Brilliant. But unless we know that unless we match our roles with our people in terms of what they bring to the table, the behaviors, the type of, like, the mindset side of our team with the practical, we can get a disconnect. So what I learned from putting all this practical stuff in place with business owners years ago, I was like, well, why is this sometimes not getting traction and other times flies? And what I noticed was that there was a whole level of mindset and human behavior that I had to untangle in order to create the buy-in that created the change. And from doing this work, I recognized that there were four different distinct behaviors that came up when it came to resistance. And so in this work, and I call this the protector patterns, I recognize that we can have all the practical solutions, but unless we know our protector pattern work and we fit it to make sure that the practical solution is the right match, it won't work. So I can expect, if you like, I can go into this protector patterns.
Because everybody's listening to this going, okay, so how do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really useful if we can expand on that so people can understand what am I doing right and maybe where are some things that I could make some adjustments in my business to do better.
Yeah. So if you've found, like, perhaps, oh, I really want to delegate something, but for some reason you haven't. We talked at the start about, like, you know, the money and you want to hold on to stuff.
Yeah.
Or perhaps you found that you have been hiring or outsourcing and people haven't been delivering to the standard you want and you're always picking up the pieces. You're finding certain challenges when it comes to growing a business and growing a team. I want you to stop for a moment. I want you to pause on the practical solution of I'm hiring the wrong person. This is the wrong project management tool. I have the wrong piece of tech in place. And I want you to look internally. I want you to look at what patterns of behavior are coming up, which is causing this to become a challenge. Within this, I guarantee there'll be one of four things that really stands out for you. So these, from working with thousands of different individuals and team members, I kept seeing the same four patterns. So first we have the pleaser pattern. The pleaser pattern is that we are always wanting to make sure everyone else is okay and we're putting ourselves last. So how that practically shows up is that, you know, you really want someone to do your laundry, but actually asking someone to do it, it's like, oh, am I that person who wants someone to make me lunch, but I don't want to actually ask them to do it. So you expect people to be mind readers,
yeah,
because you don't want to put other people out, but you also want the support.
Yeah.
So that will have you doing things even though you've paid someone else to do it.
It's like the people who clean their house before the cleaner comes to the house because they don't want them to see it being dirty.
Exactly, exactly. And when you have a pleaser pattern on a practical level, you will sometimes struggle to put in structure because you won't want to create boundaries because you want to keep make sure everyone's okay. And I think it's really important to say any of these patterns have a real positive tone to them. But when it comes to scaling, they can absolutely keep us stuck in the weeds of our business. So that's the first one, the pleaser pattern. The second one that can show up is the critical pattern. This is when we are so wanting to get things right that we overanalyze, we overthink, and we overprepare. So how this can show up in a practical sense is that, and maybe if you're listening to this, you might resonate with, oh, I'll delegate that when I know exactly what the process is. Like, I haven't worked out the best way to market on Instagram yet, so I can't possibly give that to anyone. So you're so waiting for something to be perfect that it's never the right time.
Rather than realizing that actually you could probably get someone who would do it, who would be 10 times better than you or have like a different system or way of doing it that maybe you didn't think about.
Yeah, absolutely. So it can hold you doing too much because you're not quite ready yet.
Yeah.
That critical voice, imposter that comes in and tells you, you can build a team when you have reached X, Y, and Z. That is someone being overly critical and it will hold you back. I often find people really struggle on a practical element with strategy because we're not ready to lay down the path of this is the route we're going because it may not be right. And so we overanalyze and overthink and don't make the decision.
Yeah.
The third pattern that I see with people is the independence pattern. So this is quite a masculine pattern that shows up. I saw this a lot with the males that I worked with in my retail career, of which there were many. And it's that belief that it should be you. Like you are, it's that you're strong. And you don't necessarily believe it's you're the best, but you're great in a crisis. You know, people lean on you. You're the one, maybe family members look to you to solve issues because you hold everything together. And you're so independent until it becomes too much. The challenge is that you won't ask for help until you break. Mm. And if you have a strong independence pattern, you will struggle to know what your zone of genius is because you can do so much.
Yeah.
You're so capable. People can just layer more and more and more things on your plate and you find a way to make it happen. But as a result, not only do you not see the zone of genius of yourself, you struggle to know how to delegate to people because you can't see theirs either because you're so used to looking at everything and taking everything on, you expect that of others.
So that business owner would think that everybody should be well-rounded like them.
Yeah, absolutely. Hmm. And you'll want to push more things onto individuals and want them just to get on with it. You don't necessarily have the people-pleasing tendencies. I often find that someone with a people-pleaser and an independence pattern can work fantastically together because an independence pattern person, who's my right-hand woman, will just be like, I never want Sky to have to like ask me to do stuff. I'm just going to get on with it. And I'm like, oh, I never have to ask her to do something. She just does it. She reads my mind and it works brilliantly.
Yeah.
But it can be a challenge too, because until it becomes a real problem, you're not going to be vulnerable. You're not going to necessarily share that you need some support.
Mm.
And you'll end up overworking, doing too much yourself before you hire help on a practical level.
Okay. A lot of entrepreneurs, I think, are like that. A lot of entrepreneurs I know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. And it can be an amazing trait.
Totally. You need help.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the reality is all of these protector patterns form from when we were a childhood and in the first 7 years of our life and have a bearing on our upbringing and experiences we've had. The last one is the urgency pattern. So that is when someone...
Lastminute.com.
You're brilliant. But because you're brilliant, lastminute.com, there is that, I'm not going to say laziness, like over-reliance on the fact that you can do things last minute. And it's all fast, 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 go, 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 100 miles an hour. People often, and this was me in corporate life, call me the whirlwind. You know, everything, I spoke fast, I walked fast, I did things fast. And people couldn't keep up with me. So as a leader, if you have an urgency pattern, that can be a real challenge for the people around you. Because why are they going to write those emails? Because if they don't, you're just going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Team find it really difficult to keep up with someone with the urgency pattern because they aren't necessarily systems focused because they're so busy being in the future. Why would they document something for like later on? We don't need it right now.
Yeah.
So in someone with the urgency pattern, how you'll see that show up in the business is this operational stuff, they won't be in it. It will really struggle to spend time in there because it feels like it's restrictive. And what I often have to do with my business owners is share how something that can structure that can seem restrictive to start with actually gives you ultimate freedom because there is a framework, there is a rhythm and routine that the team can work to. So you get to do all the fun stuff.
Got it. And do you have entrepreneurs who can be a mix of a few different things?
Yes. So what I find is every entrepreneur has a mix of the four. I have a free quiz which demonstrate or shows you which is your number one that shows up. And that one is the one that when you're under pressure tends to be the main place you go. It's like your safety net.
Okay.
So if, for example, urgency pattern's yours, when you're under pressure, you will just
do
work
more.
Faster. Say yes, like you will stop talking to everyone and you will just do more yourself. And so what I've learned in this work is doing the practical side of things doesn't get me as far. Like, you know, I saw this with my own dad. He was an amazing entrepreneur, but he is so fixated and controlling and will not let go. Like, even if he knows, like, he has an amazing team, he won't let go. And that's because there is a whole load of other mindset and behavioral challenges that don't allow it. And when I started seeing the bridge of like, oh, it takes both the practical and the personal awareness that allows you to then go, right, I see where I'm getting in my own way here. Not only that, I see how this is affecting different team members with different patterns and how they're affecting me. How do we rework the operation so that I get the best out of everyone? And that might look like how you communicate with someone or what you ask of them. So if I just think of an example, when I was explaining about Hannah, my right-hand person, she knows that I will struggle to give critical feedback on things. So we've got an agreement between us that she asks. She says to me, this is what I've gone with, an update of something. I'd love some critique on this. And then I find it easy because it's an open
I got permission.
I've got permission because I know her independence pattern doesn't want to get it wrong and she wants to be super strong. So by her inviting it, it allows me to fulfill my need and hers for hers. But because we know that about the way we are with one another, it makes critical feedback seamless.
Right. And a lot of people struggle with critical feedback as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Particularly if you've got a pleaser pattern. You do not want to upset people.
True. Yeah. That's hard for entrepreneurs if they're a pleaser in a lot of different areas. Mm. So you've got all of this and you have the assessment and all of this sort of stuff. Sounds great. But how do you actually make that transformation?
So if someone's listening to this and like, well, what can I do today? What are the practical things I can do today? I would highly recommend taking the assessment and start noticing like, okay, well, and where is this making me, where is this kind of sabotaging my ability to scale my business and grow my business? But I think it's also about realizing where do I really want to go? Like, what is the aim? And knowing that in majority of businesses, including very kind of passive course building businesses like Female Fusion, you cannot do it alone. As one person, you can do so much. And if you want to create a business, you have to build a team. in your own way, you have to build a team. Mm-hmm. So once you recognize this is something I'm going to have to do and learn, I want you to start writing a list of what are all the things that I got to do this week. And of that, I'd love you just to circle, what are the three things I love that I know are me that light me up? Typically, they're going to come in the where your face is, the probably sales conversation, like things to do with sales and promotion, maybe working with your clients. And then I want you to circle, maybe use a different color pen, of the three things that if you could find a brilliant solution to remove them from your plate, what would they be? And now we've got a list of three things you know you want to keep within your role and three things you know you want to remove. Now we need to look for a solution. Is it as simple as finding a piece of tech, or is it as simple as handing this over to someone else? And if you can hand over, I don't know, editing your podcast, just create a list of what you expect and what's important. And that is your recipe. And I just would love you to give it a go. Now, if you've already got a team where you're like, yeah, but I've got challenges with my team, I would encourage you just to get your team to take the assessment. I have a separate team one. And then use that to base a conversation and go, right, we want to work better together. How do we do this? What is frustrating us? Let's write a list. This is about us as a collective. And how do we all move forward? And you, as the business owner, we take some responsibility in there and say, I want to do this better too. And start from a place of raw vulnerability.
And it is, I guess, for business owners as well, that that can be quite hard because you build the business by yourself and it's going really well. And you get to a point, and I think entrepreneurs start to see this when they hit kind of mid six figures. You can get away with it a little bit before then. But when you start to hit mid six figures, that's when the cracks start to show, because what got you here isn't going to get you there.
Absolutely.
And this is when I hear the complaints from entrepreneurs where they're like, I just can't find the right team. I'm just doing too much. I'm overworked. I don't know what to do. I can't grow my business. Mm-hmm. And this is where the stagnation happens, because you can't grow if you don't have a team that's going to help get you there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does depend also the industry you're in. You know, I work with a lot of service providers, agency models who can't get beyond 200,000 or 300,000. They get stuck at like an income plateau because there aren't any more hours in the day and they can't find someone who replaces them. The problem is real. So if I just backtrack a moment and think about that entrepreneurial journey and kind of talk about some real challenges that happen. We start off as that doer, and we are those things. And I draw this person of like eight arms, and we're balancing all the stuff. We realize, heck, I can't do it all. So you start delegating. You've got a bookkeeper. You've got a house cleaner. You might have a nanny. You've got a, because I look holistically, like life is life, business and work.
Well, and people don't think that sometimes. No. They'll think just about the work. And actually, if you look at some of the personal stuff, and if you free yourself up on the home front, which can be cheaper sometimes to do, that frees you up more for the business.
Yeah, I mean, if you love doing your laundry and ironing, do it. Like if that brings you joy, I can't think of anything worse. But I love cooking. You know, so it's about knowing my zone of genius and where I want to spend my time. Similarly for the business owner. Yeah. So you start delegating these things. But what people don't do, and this is kind of linking back to operational brilliance, what people do is they create bolt-ons of, and I'm kind of using my hands here to explain it, but whereby you have people doing tasks for you. Oh, this is Flossie. She does my social media. This is someone, they do my cleaning. But everyone needs you. When they come to you and they say, well, what do you want me to do today? Or can you leave me a list of what to clean? Or how do you want me to respond to these emails? Or what do you want me to say back to this client?
Oh, that sounds like horrid for any entrepreneur, right?
Yeah.
Which is like,
I got rid of this.
Too much.
Why is it coming back?
Too much for my brain.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like delegating's hard because they're asking things of me. I just want to get on with my stuff.
Yeah.
And you're suddenly realizing I'm having to make decisions on stuff. I'm having to delegate everything. Mm. And you put yourself in the bottleneck of business. So where I see the difference is people, they start delegating and they think I've got this wrong. But actually we haven't set people up for success. And this is where I go back to operational brilliance. And I want you to think about a circle where everyone is united. And for that to happen, you need to lead. You need to start saying, this is the where we're going. This is what good looks like. this is what I'm want you to, where I want you to communicate. And this is where you're going to find out what your work is, which is the project management system, et cetera.
So some entrepreneurs struggle with talking about the vision of the business and sharing that. Well, one, some business owners don't know what their vision is for their business. But even if they do, sometimes they feel that that's information that they don't want to share with employees.
Yeah.
Talk me through a little bit about that, about why it's important as a business owner that you should be talking about your vision and your plans for the business and the strategy and where you're going.
So you remind me of something where I sometimes see business owners treat their teams differently to how they treat their clients. Whereas their clients, they'll be very vulnerable and really open and transparent. With their team, they sometimes feel like they need to almost create a bit of a guard, like them and, you know, a boundary at times. And what I would suggest is that business owners, we absolutely cannot operate without a team. And if you want to be able to take those weeks out of the business, you need amazing people.
You need a team.
So how do you create a team that want to work with you, for you, stay with you, develop with you, you know, put in that extra effort when required? It takes building rapport with people. They've got to know, like, and trust you, just the same as we need to create in the buyer's journey.
Yeah.
So with your team, whilst you're getting, you have to create know, like, and trust. And to create trust, you have to be vulnerable. You have to share with your team about the direction of travel. I remember when COVID hit, sitting down with my team and saying, you know, I was in hospitality. They were my main, it was my main source of income. I was a shareholder in the business. We had 30 employees. I had bricks and mortar businesses as clients and only a few, like, my online businesses weren't my recurring income.
Yeah.
And I lost everything overnight with £20,000. Like, a lot of people listening to this of outstanding invoices not paid. And I sat down with my team and I said, look, you know, we don't have a business. I was also 5 months pregnant. We don't have a business. I have no way of selling right now. I have, you know, we're going to have to change things. I have 6 months of run rate in the business, thanks to Profit First. And at 3 months, the decision is this role is going to go. At 4 months, this is what's going to happen. And at 5 months, it's not going to happen. So what our job is here collectively is to not allow that. And I brought my housekeeper into that conversation as well. And I said, this depends on all of us working together. And how do we make this happen? And we pulled it out the bag within within weeks. We created £60,000 of revenue. I was then able to take my maternity leave of six weeks out of the business, completely blackout, and it ran without me. But I know if I didn't bring my team into that moment of like, crikey, this is really, this is bad. This is really bad. And this is the direction. I actually am not confident that I know all the steps. But I know if we work together and we fail fast and learn, we will, and we do it united and we're always transparent with one another, we're going to be okay. Like, it will be fine.
But there is the reticence from business owners that they feel that if they do that, it shows vulnerability and weakness. And they don't want employees to see that.
I love Brené Brown's Daring Greatly book, where she talks about vulnerability-based leadership. And I'm a firm believer in that. I think this is coming back from a place of needing to share vulnerability, of being neurodiverse and being absolutely, totally useless at things and needing people to help me. And so where I have learned, and I'm sharing my personal experience here, because where I've learned, the more I can be honest with people and say, I'm really freaking good at this and I am terrible at this, can you help me?
Yeah.
You build rapport, you build trust, and you have create a loyalty from people who will bend over backwards to work with you and trust you and walk through fire with you. And to me, that in a small and mighty team is essential. So where I would use that as example, if you were someone thinking, oh, I struggle with that, I would ask the question, what have you got to lose? What is it that is... what's the worst case scenario here? Because I see too many examples of where the positive, even in the darkest days, of being completely transparent has helped with the longevity of a team and of a business than it have the negative effect of people losing faith in you.
Yeah. And you want people to still have faith in you.
Yeah. But I think business owners can lose faith in themselves for moments sometimes. And you need your team on occasions to say,
to lift you up.
We believe in you.
Yeah.
So speaking to the business owner who's listening to this and going, I'm working too much. I'm finding this really hard. What are the first steps for them to start to make the move to get them out of doing all of the day-to-day and being more strategic working on the business?
Okay, so firstly, fantastic that you're recognizing that you're working in a way you don't want to. I want to be realist. There are times in business we all got to roll our sleeves up and work extra long hours, but it's when that is over a long period of time that's not sustainable. So if you're recognizing this is not how I want to work, I want you to write down what do you want to be different? Because when we've set that intention of, I want to take those Fridays off, I don't want to work evenings anymore, I'm going to free up my weekends, I want to be present with my children or my family members, then that is an amazing point. You know where you want to get to. Then we just got to analyze, you know, your physical body can only be in one place at one time. So where are you expecting yourself to be, and what can we do to remove it? So start looking at where are you spending your time throughout the week and noting that down. It's a time tracking exercise. You can obviously use software. But if you start at that place, and then I want you to start creating these rhythms and routines in your business and just jot down what are the things in my business as a whole or in my role I have to do on a daily basis. What are the things I have to or should want to do on a weekly basis and on a monthly basis? And then sit with that piece of paper. This could be a half an hour exercise. Sit with that piece of paper as a first start and think, what do I need to remove from this plate in order to get my weekends back? What are the things that I don't enjoy, that are lower value, that don't light me up, that I can remove from this list? And then from that list, we start saying, well, what's the cost of outsourcing those? What's the cost? And it can be as simple as, you know, I mean, everything's different in different countries, of course, internationally, but it might be a £15 an hour, $15 an hour task that you can remove that's a 5 hours a week. And then by saying, right, what am I going to do with that time that I get back? Because that's what a lot of people don't do. They pay for someone to do the task, and then they go, well,
I'm just going to do more work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to be intentional.
Yeah.
So it is just about analyzing, what am I doing? How is this different to where I want to be? And what are the one or two small things, don't get overwhelmed, what are the one or two things I can do right now? And if you've got a team, I guarantee you they are not working at full capacity. And I don't mean in time-wise, I mean in their potential. So bring them into this and explain, I need to remove some things from my plate. Who can take what off me? Who would like the opportunity of doing something I'm doing? Utilize the people around you.
Excellent tips. And I think as well, listening to this, I was thinking people are going to need to have a pen and paper to write all of these things down, because it is so useful. It's actionable things that people can do right away after listening to this episode as well.
Yeah, completely. And then if you're thinking like, you see that resistance coming up. Oh, but I probably, you know, that probably needs to be, I want you to go back to the protector pattern work or re-listen to this podcast and think, eek, what are those, one of those four things that are coming up for me thinking that it needs to be me? Because look, every big business started off as a small business, but if we stay in the same role, we can only create the same results.
Yeah.
So we need to absolutely move and up that value ladder, doing more things that are higher value within our business. And we need to take our team with us. We'll start building our team in order to create the results and ultimately the impact that we want to create in the world.
Sky, if people want to read more about this or reach out to you, how can they find you?
Okay, you can find me on Instagram, Sky_Barber. I have a whole podcast series myself called Full Freedom Podcast with Sky Barber. So if you'd like to hear more, please do reach out and I can get you the link to the quiz as well.
Great. And we'll put that in the show notes too.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us, Sky.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome. It can be quite an adventure having a business. You have your highs and you have your lows, and sometimes that can all be in one day. And one of the challenging things that you can face is you don't know who you can talk to. Well, within Female Fusion, we have thousands of female entrepreneurs from around the world who are the most beautiful community, who are there to help women every step of the journey when you have a business. The doors to our membership are open now. And if you are a female business owner, we would love to have you be a member of Female Fusion. All you need to do is go to femalefusionnetwork.com/join.